Will your children or grandchildren be listening to a Bible lesson sometime today, like you are right now as you listen to the Let the Bible Speak program? Will they be engaged in a worship service today, a church service, a Bible study, things involving the spiritual part of their life that is important to help them to go to heaven? Will they be doing that today? Or if you don't have children and you know of young people, you're concerned about the young people around you, will they be engaged in some kind of a Bible study today? In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, the proverb writer says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself causes shame to his mother." I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about a child left to himself. You know, we have programs set up by the government and education and so forth called No Child Left Behind. But unfortunately, we don't apply that same interest and desire to children being left behind in their training in the home. Let's talk a little bit about a child left to himself. Of course, the proverb writer is not talking about literally and physically leaving a child by himself, like leaving a child by himself in a room or leaving a child by himself in a house all alone or by the side of the road. It's talking about leaving a child to himself in the way he is going to be raised and reared and trained in life. A child left to himself does not have parents who will train him or her in the right way. I want to talk this morning about the importance of making sure that we're training up our children in the right way. A lot of times I see today in the area of religion where there are still adults left that are interested in Bible things, Bible matters, Bible studies, but the children are nowhere to be found, especially the preteen and teenagers and college age. They're on their phone somewhere else doing something else, and they're not engaged in a Bible study. And we can correct that. We can change that. We can help that if we're truly interested. The proverb writer goes on to say and write in Proverbs 29 and verse 16, the next verse, "When the wicked are increased, transgression increases, but the righteous shall look upon their fall. Correct thy son, and he will give thee rest. Yea, he will give delight unto thy soul." I find it interesting, between two verses on raising children, right in between, the proverb writer talks about the wicked and the righteous. And there's a connection there. The way the child is raised will depend to a great part in whether or not he or she will grow up to be wicked or righteous. Let's begin this morning talking a little bit about how children are left to themselves. First of all, children are left to themselves by parents and others when they're left to themselves to have their own thoughts and their own desires and their own thinking. In Proverbs 22 and verse 15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Children grow up thinking what they get their information from, and today it's the phone. They're on their phone a lot, or TV, or the internet, and they're allowed to have their own thoughts, and many of those thoughts are anti-God. They are godless and secular and materialistic. They're not on the important things of life. And so children are left to themselves, first of all, with their own thoughts. The proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Young children grow up having their own thoughts, worldly thoughts, secular thoughts, humanistic thoughts. Humanistic meaning we follow what humans say. Humans are the highest authority. There is no God. And having all those kinds of thoughts, out of those thoughts, out of the heart, are the issues of life. It controls our deeds and our actions and our ways, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Are you leaving your children or grandchildren to their own thoughts? Or would you like for them to think the way God thinks? We can think the way God wants us to think if we have His Bible in our life. Another way a child is left to himself is for him to have his own ways. So those thoughts produce actions, and they go out and they engage in their own ways. And we see young people today that are very destructive, that are very ungodly, violent, burning things down, tearing things down, causing other kinds of problems, crimes, and other kinds of things. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Proverbs 20, verse 11. "Even a child makes himself known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." Notice in verse 11, he says, a child. You can start real early telling if a young child is going to be a good person or a bad person. You can tell that early. He doesn't say even an adult makes himself known by his doings, but he says even a child, and that's the whole point. We can tell what adults are going to be like, young adults, but we might not think about this part. You can tell even if a child later in life is going to be good or bad based upon how they're acting right now, good or bad, and whether or not the parent or the guardian or whoever's in charge is doing anything about it. So they're known even by their own ways. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11, Proverbs 30 verse 11, "There is a generation that cursed their father and blessed not their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet are not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." So you have violence, you have pride, you have self-righteousness, and you have disrespect. And we see that in a lot of young people today, those qualities. So a child left to himself by letting them do just whatever they want to do. A third area that you can leave a child to himself or herself is in their choice of friends and entertainment and what they're going to go out and engage in when they're not at school or work or doing something else. So they're left to themselves to pick their own choice of friends and their own choice of entertainment, and often that is a major problem. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Turn over to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, "Walk with wise men, and thou shalt be wise, but the companion of fools shall smart for it." Who is your young person spending time with? Proverbs 24 verse 1, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with a man that is given to anger, and with a wrathful man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. And then we're very familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, bad company corrupts good morals. Young people are being left today to pick their own friends, and a lot of times they find associates online and in social media and different ways of communicating with them. And they're being taken down a dark path because these friends are ungodly in some kind of way. And we're not being careful who they're talking to. We're not asking questions. We're not saying no. Often a child is left to himself today because the parent is not strong enough to say no. No, I want your thoughts to be God's thoughts. I want your ways to be God's ways. I want your friends to be good and wholesome and right in the entertainment that you engage in. Today, with regard to entertainment, whether it's movies, music, other forms of media, it's basically bad language, bad attitudes, disrespect, alcohol, drugs, and sexual immorality. It's everywhere. And so our young people spend a lot of time with those things, and they become like that. So a child left to himself will bring shame to his mother, and we'll talk about how that will happen later in the lesson this morning. But will the young people that you know right now, will they be a part of some kind of Bible lesson sometime today? If the answer is no, you have an opportunity and a chance to correct that and to get that back. And if it's not your own child, but you love them and care for them, you can contact them or their parents and do what you can to try to turn that around. We see so much evil in the world today because children are just raising themselves in these areas of thoughts and ways and choices of friends and entertainment. I ran across an interesting statistic a few years back. American parents spend on average 38.5 minutes per week in meaningful conversation with their children, while the average child in America watches 1,180 minutes of TV per week. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize who's raising the kids. End quote. And each year that goes along, that number is higher, and then we also have to add in the time that they spend on their phone. It's probably even more than that. So parents are spending very little meaningful time talking one-on-one with no distractions, with all the electronics turned off, very little time. And so it's no surprise that they're raising themselves. A child left to himself is without guidance. A child, guidance in the right way. A child left to himself is without correction. And by that I mean teaching. And then when there is wrongdoing, a child is left without punishment, corporal punishment. I don't mean child abuse. I mean corporal punishment. Those are two different things. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul writes, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them, that is, bring them up, in the chastening and admonition of the Lord, training and warning, training and teaching of the Lord." We need to do that. It's very important. And what's interesting is that Paul talks to the children first. In verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. But those things are not going to take place magically and mysteriously and miraculously. Obedience and honoring parents is going to come when the parents early on train up the child to do those things. They're connected. Without the parents, especially the fathers, bringing them up in the right way, they're not going to obey later. They're not going to honor later. So let's not leave our children just to fend for themselves and raise themselves. I remember years ago hearing that expression, latchkey kid. A latchkey kid. They've got a key to the house because mom and dad are both working. Parents aren't around. They let themselves in after school or whatever they're doing, and mom and dad aren't around for years. I'm sorry, for hours, years on end. And they just have large periods of the day where they just do their own thing. And often that has led to problems. The internet stepped in and became the parent. Before, it was the TV stepped in to be the parent. And then the internet stepped in to be the parent. And then the cell phone stepped in to be the parent. And so we've got to be very careful about that kind of thing. In Proverbs chapter, going back to Proverbs, we've been spending time reading several of those. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, Proverbs 13, 24, he that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him often or diligently. Will we guide and correct and yes, even punish when it's necessary? Or will we just leave the child to himself? Let the secular schools raise them. We're seeing the problem with that these days, especially at the university and the college level. Let the secular humanistic schools raise them. Let government programs raise them. I'm hearing today about reprogramming people, deprogramming people. Are you going to let society raise your children? Or are you going to do that in a godly way? In the nurture and admonition, chastening and admonition of the Lord. Turn with me to Judges chapter 13. We find a good attitude here with regard to the parents of Samson. And they were told that they were going to have a child. Notice what we find in Judges chapter 13 and verse 8. Then Manoah, Samson's father, Manoah entreated Jehovah and said, O Lord, I pray thee, let the man of God whom thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Teach us what we shall do unto the child. That needs to be the attitude of every parent in America and around the world today. My wife and I have four children. Two of them are grown. One is married with our grandchild. Two of them out of the home. The other two are still in the home and one transitioning out. And I know firsthand the challenges of raising children. I know firsthand the temptations and the challenges to just let someone or something else do that. But I and my wife, we have to be an integral part of that, a meaningful part of that, but not just in our own way and what we think and feel, but we want to be taught by God how to do that. And the Bible is a marriage and family and child raising manual in addition to other good things. in addition to be a manual on how to be saved, it's a manual on how to be a good parent as well. Also in Judges chapter 13, if you jump down to verse 12, and Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass. What shall be the ordering of the child, and how shall we do unto him?" What a great question. How are we supposed to raise this child? That needs to be our attitude. So what happens when a child is left to themselves? Well, Proverbs 29:15 says he will bring shame to his mother. And that's exactly right. It causes heartache. It causes shame. It causes crying and tears and depression, because the child left to himself will often do very bad things. And it hurts mom and dad. Causes shame to his mother. It's also an embarrassment. It's also a poor reflection sometimes on the parent, especially if they were involved in that, allowing that child to be left alone. Sometimes parents raise their children properly and they choose with their free will to go off. That happens. But often it's the parents doing. And so we find examples in the Old Testament of parents who did not control their children and raise their children right. And we find them as adults now being a problem. We find that with Eli and his children in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. Eli's sons were base men. They were ungodly. They knew not Jehovah. They knew him like book knowledge, but they didn't have a right relationship with him. 1 Samuel 2:22, they were committing sexual immorality with women at the door of the tent of meeting. That's how bad that was. They wouldn't even hide it. 1 Samuel 3, verse 13, "I have told him that I will judge his house forever," that's Eli, "for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons did bring a curse upon themselves, and he restrained them not." Come on over to 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, greed, money, and took bribes and perverted justice." Well, that brings a shame on Eli and on Samuel. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Kings 1 and verse 6, with regard to David. "Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, Why have you done so? And he was a very goodly man, and he was born after Absalom." David would not question him and control him. Same with Samuel and Eli. I saw a report several years ago where a boy in Williams County, Virginia, at 8 years old, was arrested at school and carted off in handcuffs and later released to his parents. 8 years old. He was kicking the teacher and the principal. He was told to stop. He wouldn't do that. He was charged with disorderly conduct and assault and battery on an adult. 8-year-old boy. It starts early, doesn't it? And we need to be mindful of that. I saw another statistic a few years back. Most spiritual dropouts, that is, they don't want to have anything to do with God, occur during the teenage and college years. One study showed 71% of teenagers who, quote, go to church, at age 14 will have stopped doing so by the time they reach the age of 20. 71%. Now, that's young people who are, quote, going to church every Sunday. Do you know of any young people that aren't even going to church? In that case, they just don't have any hope at all, or very little, to be right later in life. They're just purely secular. And we're becoming more and more in this country an atheistic, secular country. And we're seeing the fruits of it when you turn on the TV and look at various news stories. Ideologies, ideas, plans, activities that are all ungodly. And I'm not just talking about riots. I'm talking about things that people want for themselves and the rest of us in this country. It's ungodly. It's anti-God. It's ungodly. And so, as we close, I want to close in a positive way, that our children need to be brought up in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Another proverb, Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Parents must see their obligations to bring up their children in the right way. One Barna Research Group report showed that 85% of parents of children younger than 13 believe they are the primary responsibility for teaching their children. Even higher percentage of parents, 96%, say they are most responsible for teaching values to their children. But the majority of parents do not spend any time in a typical week studying religious materials or talking about religious matters with their children. Parents, when asked, say, yes, that's my responsibility. But when the rubber meets the road, they're not actually doing that. Researchers found that parents generally have no plan for their children's spiritual development at home or in a church environment. They have little or no training on nurturing their child's faith. So that needs to be changed. Can I encourage you to take your children or grandchildren to a Bible class every Sunday and Wednesday? We are open. We would love to have you. Sunday morning, 9:30 and 10:30 a.m., 6 p.m. Sunday evening, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We would love to have you. And we help our young people even participate in the service after they become Christians. The males participate especially. We want to make the Bible an integral part of our life. We want to teach our children to pray and sing songs and learn Bible stories. We want to take them with us to do spiritual kind of work for the Lord. And we want to discourage anything that is making them worldly. We don't want a child left to himself. No child left behind. That's what we need with regard to their spiritual upbringing. And if we can help you to help them, please contact us. Please come be with us. I'll do my best to help you. Thank you for your time this morning, and I hope that you'll have a good day.